This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. It's Patriots Day, which usually means the Boston Marathon, reenactments in Lexington and Concord, baseball at Fenway Park. But not today, not this year. No crowds on Boylston Street, no roaring fans at Fenway Park. And we want to talk about that this hour. We want to talk about how it's resonating around the city. We're going to hear from a number of voices, but I want to hear from you. How are you addressing this Patriots Day? I don't even know if celebrating is the right word or if coping is the right word. Would you have been cheering on the runners or at a, you know, baseball game or watching a reenactment if we were in the normal? And now that we're in this new normal, what's happening for you? Call us 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We have some friends to help us with the conversation today. Here with me now is a colleague who has covered the Boston Marathon for WBUR for more than 20 years. Alex Ashlock, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me on.
So I have been following your wistful tweets all day, Alex.
I don't know if anybody's ever called me wistful before, but...
I was really looking for the word after following you all day. I was like, I think wistful is the word. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'd be better if we were able to pay attention to some of those things you just listed, the normal things we'd be doing on Patriots Day, the reenactment of the battles at Lexington and Concord, the baseball game at Fenway Park every Patriots Day, and, of course, the marathon, and none of those things are happening. So we're just in this abnormal time, and, you know, I think it's kind of hard to see when the abnormalcy will end. So I think this program today will help people get through that situation and maybe look forward to things coming back to normal.
So you woke up this morning. You would have been up in the pitch dark in Hopkinton, right, before dawn.
Yes.
What was going through your mind then and now, knowing that runners would still be streaming across the finish line at Copley Square right now?
Well, you know,
what was going through your mind at the beginning and now?
Well, so in the beginning, you know, I would be up very early. I usually get out to Hopkinton around 4:30 in the morning because I'm on the air on Morning Edition at 5. So I'd be doing that all morning, getting ready for the races to start, then jumping on the press truck, riding the press truck over the 26 miles of the course, getting down to the finish line in downtown Boston, jumping off. Usually I'm on the women's truck, so I'm just in time to see the women's winner roar to the finish line. So I was thinking about all of that early this morning, came into the station instead, which I haven't done in many, many years, come to the station on Marathon Day. But at this time, we're just after 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I would have been out sort of wading into the finish line area, talking to runners who'd crossed the finish line about their experiences that day. It's just one of my favorite things to do because you're seeing people who have just accomplished this incredible feat, running 26.2 miles in the most iconic marathon in the world. It's something that all marathoners want to do. They want to run Boston. And I'm there at the finish line talking to people who have just done that. And then I'd be on the air with you talking about the men's and women's winners in the races that day. There could have been a course record. There could have been a breakthrough performance. Always interested to see how the American runners do. This year would have been interesting because of the runners from other countries. You know, maybe they were competing for berths on their Olympic teams because the Olympics were supposed to be happening in Tokyo this summer, but they've been canceled too. So just all those things going through my mind today, and none of them are happening.
So join Alex and me in the conversation. What's going through your mind today? How are you feeling about a Patriots Day without most of the activities that make it Patriots Day in Massachusetts? 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And I want to invite another guest to join us here at the table now, Reverend Mariama White Hammond, who's a pastor at the New Roots AME Church in Dorchester. She's an activist and organizer. Reverend Mariama, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Good to be with you.
So you heard me call Alex wistful at the beginning of the show. How are you today? Are you wistful today? How are you feeling in the middle of all of this?
You know, I think I am always filled with deep gratitude because for everything that's going on, I recognize all my blessings. But today has been a little bit of a tough day pastorally. I've had a conversation with a congregant who lost her dad and whose partner lost his grandmother, and they're all trying to negotiate funerals in light of this of this moment. So, you know, I try to stay centered, but today, you know, I've had my fair share of people working through the suffering.
So they're working through the suffering, Mariama, at the same time that we are supposed to have this day that's supposed to be sort of early spring celebratory and historically celebratory. Talk about that juxtaposition a little bit.
Well, yesterday was really beautiful. I actually got outside. My husband and I, maybe we actually planned to plant more in our garden than we actually do. But yesterday we got out there and put some flowers out. And somebody walked by and said, oh my gosh, your flowers are beautiful. Thank you. You know? And so, yeah, spring is very much upon us. And I'm trying to honor that. I do often go watch the marathon. So if I can't be there in person, I definitely would have been watching it on television today. It's a balancing act to both function with the gratitude, recognizing that, you know, all in all, for many of us, things could be much worse. While also it's hard not to miss some of those things that become the markers of spring for us.
So to both of you, you heard Alex say earlier that the Boston Marathon is the most iconic marathon in the world. Why is the Boston Marathon so, I mean, it's 26 and a half miles. There are lots of those around the world. Why is this one so special? Alex, how about you first?
Yeah, I'll take that. It's held on the same day every year on a holiday, unlike any of the other marathons in the world. It's Patriots Day. It's a celebration. It's a 26.2 mile course, as you said, just like all marathons are. But it's so different than other marathons because it starts out in Hopkinton, runs into Boston. It passes through all these cities and towns, which take their hosting of the race very seriously. It's like an Olympic race, more so than some of the other big marathons around the world, which are mostly about seeing who can run the fastest time. If you win the Boston Marathon, it's like winning the Olympic Marathon. Your name goes down in history, and now we've had 123 years of history. This would have been the 124th, but we're looking forward to seeing that happen in September. I just think it's the most special foot race that you could have or see anywhere in the world.
Actually, let's grab a call. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. To join the conversation, we've got Jody on the line from Somerville. How are you, Jody?
I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm well, thanks. Join the conversation.
Oh, great. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, go ahead. Go right ahead.
So, I'd like to go back to work. And I would like, you know, I feel so bad for a lot of the people that were going to run this race today. And there's a big purse at stake. And there's so much at stake for so many people who don't get to go to work like myself. I'm ready to go back to work.
What do you do, Jody?
Stars. I'm a hairdresser.
Yep. How long have you been out of work, Jody?
I've been out since the day they, 27th of March. And basically, my business had started to drop off at the beginning of February because people were afraid to go out with all the hubbub that the news was giving us.
Well, thanks for the call, Jody. Oh, no, go ahead.
I was going to say, I personally don't know anybody who has had SARS. And I know a lot of people, being a hairdresser. So
wait, do you mean COVID-19 or SARS in this case?
COVID-19. I meant COVID-19. Yeah. I'm sorry. Forgive me.
That's okay. All right, so I'm gonna give Reverend Mariama a chance to respond to you, Jody. I mean, our work is our lifeblood. You know, it not only feeds us, but it's so much of who we are. Reverend Mariama.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, I think Jody's experience is very real. This morning I had a conversation with a congregant who's able to work from home, but whose partner is not. And last night she had to go get tested. And there was this, you know, big question about, like, should he go to work? Should he not work? And I think it's really a challenge, a tough choice for people here when if you don't work, you don't get paid. I like to get my nails done from time to time, and I've had to reach out to my, you know, salon technician and sort of say, hey, I usually would have been coming in, like, I'll just pay you to do my nails even though I can't come in, you know?
Yeah.
So I think for those folks who live in the gig economy where you only get paid when you perform a service, this is really hard. Even if you have savings, the uncertainty of the moment is a real challenge. But I do want to say to Jody, as a pastor, at first I didn't know people who had been affected. But in the midst of the surge, I am now managing several congregants who are facing this. And I think it's a real challenge, particularly for younger folks. I think they feel like they're not going to get sick. And I've seen that attitude start shifting as more and more of them are being directly affected. So it is a hard thing. I don't begrudge folks who have to make tough decisions between their health and their livelihood. I think many of people have been put in a tough position.
Let's take another call here. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Anne from Fenway, you're on the line. Go ahead, Anne.
I just can't let today go by without saying a word about the bombing, because that day I went down and was watching some of the runners and came back to my studio, and then I heard two huge booms, which I thought was a truck backfiring, and I soon discovered what it really was. So just calling to say usually the Patriots Day is a happy day with the Red Sox game and the marathon, but in memory of all the people that were killed or maimed during that day, I make this call.
Anne, I'm glad you called and joined your Radio Boston community, because I can hear in your voice that this is a hard day for you. And I'd love to give Alex Ashlock a chance to respond to your comments. Alex.
Yeah, it's a really hard day. We just passed the 7th anniversary last Wednesday. The marathon would have been today, so we would have had a little bit of distance. Last year, the marathon was actually run on the same day, April 15th. As the day of the bombings in 2013. So every year when the marathon comes around, you know, I do look forward to it as a celebration, but you just cannot forget what happened on April 15th of 2013 and just the terrible tragedy and the terrible, just the horrible injuries and the three people who were killed and what that week was like in the city of Boston. So I would just echo what Ann says. We should never forget what happened that day.
It's Patriots Day, and we are spending the hour today reflecting on what that means as we grapple with the coronavirus surge. No Boston Marathon, no Red Sox game, no reenactments at Lexington and Concord, no taking in the Boston Public Garden on what sort of feels like the first real day of spring. How are you handling this more isolated Patriots Day? Are you missing some traditions? Are you trying new ones? And how would you have spent today under more normal circumstances? Call us 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or you can tweet us at Radio Boston. Still with us as our guests today are WBUR's own Alex Ashlock, who's been covering the Boston Marathon for the station for more than 20 years, and Reverend Mariama White Hammond, a pastor at the New Roots AME Church in Dorchester and an activist and an organizer. Welcome back to both of you. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
I want to jump right to a call. We've got Ellen on the line from Brookline. Ellen, pull up a chair to the table. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I live in back of mile 18 at the Brookline post offices in Coolidge Corner. And so many times I'd go and see the runners for a while, but before I do that, I'd have everything set up. And I'd be cooking and watching the Boston Marathon at the same time. And the thing is, the fact that when couldn't see Romeo and Juliet swimming in the lagoon, and I, you know, before that I was taking all these pictures of the public garden, you know, and I was one of the, you know, millions of improper Bostonian kids, and my parents took me to the swan boats when I was a little kid.
And Ellen, Romeo and Juliet are the swans, right?
Right. Yeah.
So you're really missing a lot of these traditions from your childhood, it sounds like.
Yeah, and not only that, but I mean, my birthday got ruined in more ways than one, not only because of the first day of Passover, but, I mean, there was a friend of mine who said I had this really rotten birthday because if Passover doesn't ruin it, income tax day does.
Yeah, well, this year at least you got a reprieve from income tax day, Ellen. I appreciate the call, and I'm sorry your birthday got ruined. We actually have another guest whose voice I want to add to the conversation now for a few minutes, because Boston Mayor Marty Walsh has actually joined us. He's on the line. Mayor Walsh, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, and I want to say to Ellen, happy birthday, and my birthday got ruined, Ellen, too. It was a week and a half ago, so us April babies really got shortchanged this year.
It is a tough year for the April babies, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's okay. We'll be all right. We'll be fine. And Ellen talked about the swans and a lot of things that we would open the swan boats. We would have been at the marathon today. We would have been celebrating the marathon all weekend. We had Passover and Easter and religious days and holidays. And you know, it's just a very different year for all of us. But today, Patriots Day. In Mass, the one thing I just want to say to everyone, I know it's different, but we are celebrating our city's resilience by staying at home and supporting each other and certainly drawing on the spirit of the 2013 marathon. So I would ask everyone to think about that as we move forward today. And we'll get back to life again. I think what's happening now is going to make us stronger and make us grateful for understanding what we're actually missing. And I think I know you have guests on the radio, too, today. I want to thank them both. And Mariam is a dear friend. I go back a long way with her and her family. But Mariam, in particular, for me, and her husband, Ron, worked here with the city for a long time. And, you know, it's a different type of year.
Mayor Walsh, I guess I'm projecting, but I got to believe, as the mayor of the city of Boston, it's got to be just frustrating and hard to see the city not be able to unlock all that is magic about us on a day like today.
You know, I think we've had a long time to reflect here, 7 weeks really almost, to reflect on everything in society as far as our freedoms and who we are as people. And I think that for me, it is hard right now for us to think about that. But the beauty is we know that the better days are coming, and we just have to continue to remain strong. We've lost 175 Bostonians to this virus. Unfortunately, we're going to lose more, and I think that there's a lot of sadness here, but we have to be resilient to do everything we can to stop the spread of the virus and continue to support each other.
And when you said a minute ago that really today's Patriots Day is something akin to the experience we had after the bombing in 2013 and the way we've observed One Boston Day, can you talk a little more about that?
Yeah, you know, One Boston Day came, you know, we created it. This would have been our sixth One Boston Day, and, you know, it was very different. One Boston Day was the day we came out of the marathon, and what can we do to show our resiliency and our strength as people? And obviously remembering the marathon bombing, but also how we've moved forward. And that really came out of the people, the families who lost loved ones and the survivors of the marathon, and we feed off their strength and resiliency. And this year was different as well. But you know, there was a lot of acts of kindness on the 15th of April that we see all over the city and all over the state. And we just need to continue that spirit moving forward.
When we had you, our other guest is Alex Ashlock from here at WBUR. And on the day the marathon was postponed, Alex was on the show and talked about what the potential economic impact of the loss of the marathon, even for a short period of time, would be. How are you thinking about the economic impact of all of this on the city right now, especially in balancing those tensions with the public health impact of where we are?
Well, you know, they're enormous. When you think about several weeks ago, we were building a budget that was going to put $100 million into housing over 5 years, money into education, money into social service programs, money into homelessness, money into addiction, money into mental health, money into different areas that we want to expand and help people that are struggling, and realizing that the second budget we put forth in front of the city council still had some investments in housing, but not the magnitude that we had originally. And we're fully funding schools in our budget. But all those other programs, I mean, they literally have to probably wait a year before we get more funding into them. And we have to do the work that we do in the city with the budget we had. You know, I'm hoping that we don't have to further cut. I mean, I read an article today, New York is furloughing employees. We don't have to do that right now. You know, we're paying our folks, and many of them are working from home, but the strain on our budget is enormous. The strain on the state budget is going to be enormous, clearly the federal government. And then you go to individuals and the families and you know, people who own small businesses and people who own their home, and then people renting that don't own a home. I mean, this impact is going to set people and families back for years. You know, even if we get the economy moving up fairly quickly here, it won't go back to the way it was initially because the coronavirus concern is going to be here for a while.
And before I let you go, Mayor Walsh, what is something today that is giving you hope or joy or is inspiring you?
The fact that I woke up this morning and was able to do my job, and I think that's I'm grateful for that. I think the fact that we're able to do everything we can here at the city and City Hall to help the people of Boston as best we can, and working with the governor and the state and being part of a bigger movement here. And I think that that's what's inspiring me right now. Certainly, we all have our moments where we let this thing get in our head and get down. But at the end of the day, we have to continue to rally. We're going to get through this. We're strong people. I often say to people, we all have a story in life. Our own life is a story. And the story is full of ups and downs, high points and low points. And this is an opportunity for us to turn a low point into a high point.
Boston Mayor Marty Walsh, I really appreciate you taking time today to join us.
Thank you.
Thanks and take care.
All right, bye-bye.
And join this conversation, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to share your thoughts on this very unusual moment in Boston history with Patriots Day. Alex Ashlock, Reverend Mariama White-Hammond, let me just invite some reactions from the two of you to what we just heard from Mayor Walsh.
Yeah, I'll jump in. I think that he brought up some issues that we should definitely think about. We are talking about some of the good things that we're missing on this Patriots Day, but so many people are suffering hardships, whether they're suffering from the illness itself or whether they've lost their jobs. I have two sons who have been laid off because of the COVID-19 outbreak. Mm. So there are some very serious issues that people are facing. And I think, this may be a day that we should think about, trying to help people out, helping each other out, call somebody who might be alone, try to take care of each other as we try to get through this illness, this pandemic. It's very difficult.
Reverend Mariama, listening to Alex, I'm reminded, I believe you're part of a mutual aid society. Is that right?
Yeah, so I'm active here in Dorchester. We have Dorchester Community Care. And, the network is just amazing. Like, people make a request, they need diapers, and we go out and get them. Different folks from around our neighborhood move more than like $11,000 within our neighborhood to support people. And I think that, the mutual aid societies are a perfect example of the way that people are innovating. I think people are connecting with family members and people are connecting with friends. And, we've had friends who needed some support and we've sent it to them. So I think this is really, it's a tough time. There's no getting around it. But I also think we've leaned into each other a lot more. And the key is we're going to have to keep that going because the pain doesn't stop. Even if we could get the virus under control, the level of joblessness and we've got some tough road ahead of us. But I do have some confidence that if we keep leaning into each other, we can move forward. And I think the mayor named the challenges we're going to face in the budget. Sometimes we're tempted to pit groups against each other. And what I hope is, in the way that we've come together, that we'll keep coming together and we'll keep trying to figure out how do we make tough decisions in ways that make sure that the most vulnerable of us are taken care of first.
Yeah, you just have to hope that the marathon, when it is held in September, will pump the same kind of money into the local economy that it usually does. It's something like $200 million. I think I've heard the mayor say. So, you hope that'll happen in September.
Let's invite another caller to the table, 1-800-423-8255 or 1-800-423-TALK. We've got Ed on the line from Reading. How are you, Ed?
I'm good. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, go ahead.
I want to reflect back about 70 years when, as kids from Putnam Street in Somerville, we used to go on the bus, take the T into Kenmore Square, walk up to Fenway Park. But the Red Sox used to hold doubleheaders at that time with the Philadelphia Athletics, who are today the Oakland Athletics. We would go in to the game, which started at 10 o'clock. We'd watch the first game, and then we'd walk down to Kenmore Square, which was the then finishing line for the marathon, and we'd see the initial runners coming in and the winners and so forth. And then later we'd go up and watch the second game for the Red Sox, and then we'd take the T back to Putnam Street in Somerville. That was a wonderful time and a great experience for us kids growing up in Somerville.
And you paid one price for what, for the ticket for both those games, probably too, right?
Well, that's right. That's exactly right. You just show your stub to get in.
That's a real doubleheader
for the second game. That's exactly
right.
You don't hear of those games today. They don't hold doubleheaders. But that was
not like that. They don't.
That was a thing. And today, I was happy enough. I was able enough to go down to the cemetery and plant flowers at my family, my parents, and my wife's graves. And thank God it's spring, because the flowers are blooming nicely. And it's a nice opportunity for me to reflect back on with them and what they're missing from my life. But it was a very interesting time. And the one thing that I see that has promise today, and I hope continues, is as I go out and I do a bit of walking around the area, I walk around the lake over in Wakefield, and I see families, mothers, fathers, and children all walking together as a group and spending that valuable time together. And I hope and pray that unison of family stays together as we get through this and move forward.
Ed, I loved your call. Thank you so much for joining us today. And quickly before you go, Ed, what was your wife's name?
Maureen.
We'll think about her today, too. Thanks for calling, Ed. I really
appreciate
it.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So, Alex, you already had a reaction, such a joyous reaction to Ed. And then, Reverend Mariama, this point about families that Ed made really struck me, too.
Yeah. I see folks connecting. People reaching out. My family has this on Saturday afternoons, we watch movies together using the Netflix party. And then on Sunday, we have Sunday dinner. And I got families coming from Boston and Lynn and Swampscott and Ohio and Texas. And, all this technology was available to us before. We could have done this before. But the truth is that, we were all busy and running around. And so this COVID crisis has made us spend a little bit more time together. And again, I'm hoping that this is something we keep going after we're allowed to go back out again.
So I want to take a second here, because we've been focused a lot on Boston in this conversation, and that's where a lot of the action would happen. But 26.2 miles away from Copley Square is Hopkinton, where the runners would have started their journey earlier today. And we have joining us now quickly on the phone is Connor Deegan, Hopkinton Town Clerk. Connor Deegan, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much for having me.
So the marathon is a really big deal for Hopkinton, too. What does this day usually mean for your community?
This is a day that's usually just filled with celebration and community and just so much energy. And the marathon does so much to support Hopkinton and a good portion of the Metro West communities along the route. And so it's a day that's a lot quieter than usual, that's for sure.
Yeah, how has it been the last couple of days there?
It's definitely been strange seeing the lack of vendors and stands and everyone getting ready for today, the big day. But I was really glad still that the BAA made a really good move in making sure that, we're focused on everyone's health at this point, and we're not canceling, we're just pushing it off. So we're saving up all of our energy for September.
And do you feel optimistic that in September we'll be able to bring that marathon back in full force and see all those runners pre-dawn in Hopkinton?
I certainly hope so. It's one of those things that you really can never tell, just with, especially with how this has gone so far. It's COVID has been very, very insidious, and it's changed very quickly the situation. So we don't know, but I'm very hopeful and I am optimistic that we'll be able to have this.
And before we let you go, Alex, let me just ask you, is there anything you want to ask or say to Connor Deegan while we've got him on the phone?
I just think he's reflected on, you know, what a lot of people are thinking who do regular things on Patriots Day. And his thing is to get the race started out there. So I'm sympathizing with him not experiencing those things today. So,
well, it's going to be a blast when we get to September and we get a chance to give all that energy out, hopefully, and make and cheer everyone else on.
There you go. Well, that's so. Connor Deegan, town clerk of Hopkinton, Massachusetts, home of the Boston Marathon starting line. Connor Deegan, I appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you again so much for having me. Stay well.
It's great to have you. You too. And let's grab another call here. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Janet's on the line from Gloucester. Janet, how you doing?
Hi, I'm fine, thank you. Thank you for taking my call. This is about a very special man who ran the marathon for quite a few years. And then at some point he wasn't able, but he would go to Heartbreak Hill, stand there and take a look at all the runners. And if somebody looked like they were struggling, he'd run alongside with them for the next 5 miles, rooting them along, helping them. Mm. And then when he was not able to do that, he went into the first aid tent and was there. And it just brings up all the wonderful things that he did. He was just such a passionate person. Unfortunately, he passed away a couple of years ago from cancer.
Janet, I'm sorry for your loss. He does sound like somebody who really embodied the spirit of the marathon.
Oh, yeah. He was a very, very, very special person. He was extremely passionate. He had a T-shirt from every single marathon he ran.
Well, Janet, I appreciate you calling today and sharing his memory with us. It's really nice to remember people who inspire us that way on days like this. Thanks for the call. And Reverend Mariama, Alex Ashlock, let me just invite you to respond to Janet before I take us to a break.
I would just say that there are so many people like that gentleman that she just mentioned that are just attached to the marathon and help out every year, thousands of volunteers. They all have stories. There are so many people that are like that, people that will never know their names. But they just love the marathon, and they love to help, and they love to see what this brings, what this event brings to the community every year.
And how about you, Reverend Mariama?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that spirit is exactly what makes our marathon different than everyone else. Like, I am never going to win, but I've done a couple of half marathons myself. And while, you know, people come out, you know, I remember I did the Detroit half marathon, and we were running over the bridge, and the you know, sun was coming up, and a kid and his friends came out on their lawn with their band at like 7:45 in the morning. And when your muscles are killing you and you're starting to ask yourself, why the heck did I think this was a good job, good idea? You're so thankful for people like that who, you know, stand in the gap. And, you know, I do the half marathon for BAA most years. And 1 year I couldn't do it. And I went out to Franklin Park and I just cheered at mile 9 because I knew exactly how
how you'd be feeling.
You get there and it's nothing like Heartbreak Hill, but you're at 9 miles and you're like, why did they put this hill here? And so I stood out there and cheered. And I have to tell you, I think I felt maybe the same sense of accomplishment out there cheering. I love that now people's names are on their bibs. So you can be like, go Julie. And she's looking at you like, who the heck are you? But you know what? I'm struggling, so I'll take it. And that's
absolutely
what I think this race so important. It's not just that there's some hard hills or great terrain. It's that people bring their love and they come out and give the best of what they have to the runners as if they were running it themselves. And I don't think there's anything that stops us from bringing that same energy in September. Even if I have to be out there with a mask on my face, I will be cheering.
Yeah, so will I. Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and we're going to continue our conversation about Patriots Day. how we would be spending the day normally and how we are spending it today in the absence of the Boston Marathon or a Red Sox game or reenactments out in Lexington and Concord. We've been having a wonderful conversation with you, our listeners, with the mayors of Boston and Hopkinton, and our two guests, Alex Ashlock of WBUR, who's covered the marathon for more than 20 years, and Reverend Mariama White Hammond, a pastor at the New Roots AME Church in Dorchester, and as I found out just before the break, a runner. So welcome back to the two of you.
Thanks for having us.
I want to add, sorry, the town clerk of Hopkinton, I think I called him the mayor. I want to add one other, yeah, I did. Yeah, good day to do that, actually, really. I want to add one other voice here, one we would usually hear from today, which is Tom Grilk. He's the executive director of the Boston Athletic Association. Tom, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you very much. It is a regrettable day to have to be doing it this way.
Yeah, how are you?
Doing better than one has any right to expect, I'm sure. Healthy at a time when so many people are struggling. So many of us can be grateful for that on a day when we celebrate those people who are taking care of us on the front line.
And what are you missing most today, Tom?
Well, the Boston Marathon is such a combination of communities, people who run, people who come out and volunteer, 10,000 of them, medical people who come out and volunteer, 2,000 of them, hundreds of thousands of spectators who come out, and they all come together and find a sort of shared experience that is an absolute singularity. So to be in the middle of that is a privilege beyond reckoning. So I miss the way everybody comes together.
Just before this break, before we came to you, Reverend Mariama basically said, come hell or high water, she will be out there, mask on or no, rooting people on in September. What is it going to take to make sure that some form of the Boston Marathon happens in September?
I think that we as a commonwealth, at the very least, will have to be comfortable and confident that such a thing, whatever form it may be in, is a safe and sensible undertaking for runners, for volunteers, for spectators, for the cities and towns along the way. The hope is that we'll be able to have the full Boston Marathon. That was very much behind the thinking of the mayor, the governor, the Hopkinton Select Board, who both want to keep that part of community spirit going forward, but also as I hope we're getting into the back end of the worst of this, can bring a couple of $100 million in economic impact into the community, some $40 million into charities that will all be very much in need of those kind of funds. What will happen? We don't know. Probably the most frustrating part of this whole thing for everybody is that there is no way to bring certainty to what is an altogether uncertain environment. As Dr. Fauci has told us, in the end, the disease, the virus, will tell us.
Right. And to that point, have you been starting to think about strategies with preventive measures, maybe a limited field or more staggered start times or something to do with spectators? Are you at the point where you're thinking about those kinds of scenarios for September?
What we've been doing from the 13th of March, when the postponement was announced, through really now, has been doing all of the things that are necessary to take the events of Boston Marathon Week as they occur in April and moving them into an already full and crowded schedule in September, so that we are able to provide as much as we can, depending on the circumstances. The logistics of making those changes are enormous. Our staff has done a spectacular job in doing that, even as everyone has had to be working remotely, starting the day before that was announced. So we've pretty well turned the corner on being able to do everything that can be done. And the question now that's not really ours to answer is what can be done. I have very, very high confidence that we and all of the groups that we work with will be able to and will adapt in whatever ways may be necessary. I think the most important element of what people at the BAA and all of those with whom we work have brought in over many years is a level of preparedness, both for good days and, not so many years ago, the most horrible of days. But that same level of preparedness, intellectual agility, innovation will be on display this year as well.
That's Tom Grilk, Executive Director of the Boston Athletic Association. Tom, I know this is an unusual day. I really appreciate you choosing to spend a little bit of it with us.
Anytime Alice Ashlock is around, I want to be there.
Alice, do you want to say hi to Tom before he goes?
Yeah, good to hear your voice today, Tom. I miss seeing you over the weekend.
I think we all sort of miss that and the kind of spirit that we see in so many places that I just heard Janet talking about a minute before, the kind of thing you would never think of, but there it is.
Exactly. Tom, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Sure. Happy to do it.
I'd love to bring another caller in here, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Jennifer is on the line from Jamaica Plain. Jennifer, go ahead.
Oh, hi. For me, Patriots Day would always start as a little girl going out to watch the William Dawes reenactments and riding by out to Lexington and Concord. And then not long after that, thinking about going to the public garden, because my grandfather, his job as a rigger moving heavy machinery was to return the swan boats to the pond every spring. It's something my mother remembers as a little girl. And so we would always go and see the swan boats being put back in the pond.
Yeah. Jennifer, thanks for sharing that memory with us. It's part of the magic of what I think we're missing today. I really appreciate it. I'd love to grab one more call here. We've got Rama on the line from Gloucester. Rama, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for having this. I almost forgot that it was Patriots Day with everything going on in our crazy lives right now. I just totally spaced it. I was running into a volunteer thing that I do with some fellow volunteers at a food pantry, and they start talking about the marathon. I said, what? Today's Patriots Day. It's like, holy cow. And it's strange that I forgot because I've run it. I come from a family of 10. Half of my family have run it. It is a major, major holiday in our lives. We grew up in Marlboro, Mass, and our Nan and Granddad used to take us as kids to watch it. So pretty much every year when I've been living in the area, I've ran it, watched it, or cheered a family member on. And I grew up thinking it was the only marathon. And I know there's a lot of wonderful marathons now in the world, but I think Alex said earlier, it's the iconic marathon. And you throw the Red Sox on top of it, and we grew up Red Sox fans too, of course. And it's like, it's a magical, magical, magical day. And I thank you for having this conversation. It's so wonderful that we can remember those folks who lost their lives or got injured in 2013, of course, too. So it's a special, magical day in my life and my family's life.
Thanks for calling, Rama. I appreciate it. And Alex, let me just ask you, Rama has run the marathon. Have you talked to any runners? What are you hearing from them?
Yeah, it's almost like they have to start over. They have been on a 5-month training program. And I think when I was on the air with you the day the decision was made or the announcement was made about the September 14th date, all these runners were getting ready that weekend to do their last big long run before what was supposed to be the marathon today. So they had to scale that back, think about it differently. It's almost like they're beginning again. But, they're taking advantage of that to make it a positive. They've got all these miles in the bank. They were ready to run a marathon, about a month ago. There's no reason why they can't be ready to run a marathon in September. So I think, they're going to keep training and they're going to, set it up so they can peak again when it comes to September, hopefully, to run the race on September 14th.
Yeah, and the
Reverend Mark, yeah, go ahead.
It's been really flexible. So I was supposed to be running the 5K this weekend.
Right, me too.
I signed up to do the half marathon, and that's been moved. the half marathon is the same day.
Yep.
10K has been moved, and I've never, never missed any of the 10Ks. It's, I'm never going to win. So my one claim to fame is that I have made every single 10K since I started it.
Hey, you get a lot of credit for showing up, right?
I know. I even had to come home from a friend's wedding on the first plane in order to and get out of Logan and go straight from Logan to the Common to run that race. But, again, they have been really flexible. And the reality is, I think for many people, as someone who's trained, it is not always easy to just keep your training going. But I think for many of us, that race, if we can make it go, and if the doctors say that it's our health professionals say it's okay, it will be a sign of our resilience as human beings. And I think a lot of folks, even though they've been giving us the option to get a refund, I think you're going to find a lot of folks are going to push through.
Yeah, you know, I talked to at least one runner who said to me that, you know, the race in September, it's never happened before. The Boston Marathon in September, it's a one of a kind. You know, it may be like it was in 2014, the first race after the bombings in 2013. You know, it may be, you know, it'll be extra special. It'll be the one time the Boston Marathon is run in September. And the people that I've spoken to who were registered today to run today, you know, they're going to run in September.
So your sense from the runners is, you know, sort of like what Reverend Mariama said before the break, man, if it's happening, I'm going to be there. You don't think we'll see a drop off?
I don't think so, because I think, you know, most of the 30,000 runners in the field are not the elite athletes, and they're not running three or four marathons a year. If they were planning to run the Boston Marathon, especially people who had never run it before, or maybe there was one runner I spoke to, this was going to be his first ever marathon. So there's no way he's not going to continue to train and try to make it to the starting line on September 14th. So I think you'll see a field close to the size of what it was going to be today.
So, Reverend Mariama, we've got about a minute left, and I just want to ask you, you know, the other dimension of this is our emotional well-being, our community well-being. You know, what is a way we can mark that today when we're all at home and there's so much of what we usually do on this day that we can't?
I mean, I think that my challenge to our congregation has been that trying to get back to normal is actually not the way that I would challenge us to think about it. I want us to think about how we come out of this better. And so I think this day, like any day, is an opportunity to remember the best of who we are, and the marathon is part of that, but also to imagine a world that is better than the one that we have. Where are our opportunities to do better and to improve? And I hope that we will lean into that kind of imagination, because I see some of this suffering, and it just didn't have to happen. Some of it is because there are ways in which we've allowed some things that we know are wrong to continue standing. And so I invite people not just to think about what we're losing, but what is possible if we become better people out of all of this.
That's Reverend Mariama White Hammond, pastor at the New Roots AME Church in Dorchester and an activist and organizer and runner. Reverend Mariama, thanks for joining us today. And WBUR's Alex Ashlock, who's covered the Boston Marathon for the station for more than 20 years and probably loves it more than anyone else I know. Alex, I really appreciate you joining us today.
I was honored to be here. Thank you.
And that's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Tiziana Deering. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.